Just need to do a little setting up of my own here. Thanks for bearing with me. The last few weeks have certainly been a stressful and anxiety-filled time. It has been our blessing to have those who bring the Word of God to us bring us such exceptional words of encouragement, comfort, and perspective. 2 weeks ago, one of the points David brought to us was to trust God in all circumstances. I thanked him for that lesson and then shared with him how I was thinking to tag team with him on that based on some recent reading that I had done. Today, I will be encouraging us to entrust ourselves to God. Some might be saying, sounds very familiar, Ken. Indeed it does, and indeed it is, sort of like two sides of the same coin. The two sides are very close. If we look at the definition of trust, it is the firm belief in the reliability, truth, or strength of someone, and that someone for us is God. The focus is on the object. The firm belief in the reliability, truth, or strength of someone, God, the object. If we look at the definition of entrust, it is to assign the responsibility for doing something to someone. The focus is on the subject. God can even be the subject. Paul says in a couple of places that he was entrusted with the gospel. Paul was assigned the responsibility for doing something, preaching the gospel to someone, the world. God entrusted Paul to go preach the gospel. So we trust God, he is the object. We entrust ourselves as the subject to God. During this pandemic, we have been encouraged, as David said, to trust in God. We have the firm belief in his reliability, truth, and strength. We trust that he can act with power, mercy, and justice, as Garrett just led us through that prayer. Because of that trust, we can entrust ourselves and all that goes into that to God. What can we entrust to him specifically? The care of our very lives, our health, our jobs, our families, our spiritual well-being, our souls. Those are the things that we can entrust to him. There really is nothing left out that we cannot entrust to him. Going back to the definition of entrust and linking it to the scriptures, we see in John 2:23 these words. Now when he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them because he knew all men and needed no one to bear witness of man, for he himself knew what was in man. The Gospel of John in chapter 1 declares Jesus as the true light that enlightens every man. Why would the true light entrust himself to man who is full of darkness? The darkness that Jesus came to save them from. It makes perfect sense he would not do that. In another place, as I said earlier, both in 1 Thessalonians and also in 1 Timothy, Paul states that he has been entrusted with the gospel. God entrusted Paul, God entrusted all of the other apostles with the preaching of the gospel. We must be careful and wise as to whom we entrust things to. I want to pivot now to the two verses that caught my attention. Both of them are in 1 Peter. That's where we'll be today. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2. The second one is in 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll start with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. For one is approved if, being mindful of God, He endures pain while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you do wrong and are beaten for it, you take it patiently? But if when you do right and suffer for it, you take it patiently, you have God's approval. Look at that verse right there. Let's stop there for a minute. When our children are small, they want our approval. Of course, they grow out of that, unfortunately. But when they're very small, we are their world as parents. They want to please us. They want our approval. As the children of God, we should have the same mindset. We should want to be approved of God. We should, as this verse says, we should want and have God's approval. Isn't that a great goal to have as Christians? Well, here we have exactly how we can accomplish it. Verse 21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." It is interesting how many times we read of the Christ and his suffering. It has been a stumbling block since the beginning. Stumbling block to Jews, stumbling block to Gentiles, stumbling block ever since. Other religions cannot accept it. They cannot accept that the powerful Messiah, the chosen one, would suffer. Yet it is critical, it is central to our belief, our faith. Isaiah, and the scriptures are loaded with it from end to end. Isaiah, years before, famously predicted it, the suffering servant. In Psalms, we read about the cornerstone that was rejected by men. Jesus, while he was on the earth, told his disciples about it over and over again, yet they did not get it at that point. After the resurrection, as we read in our readings through the Bible, Jesus himself tells the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. There is no getting around it. It was necessary by God's will that the Christ should suffer. We should just embrace it and accept it. Peter in Acts chapter 3, which we also read, if you're going along, said that the prophet said the Christ should suffer. Paul in Acts 17 says, as he's arguing with the Jews in the synagogues, that it was necessary, there is the word again, for the Christ to suffer. Over and over it comes up. And of course we see in the recorded word of the New Testament that that's exactly what Christ did. Christ did suffer. Peter here is then taking Christ's suffering and tying it to us. Peter here is describing the Christian's lot in life, that as Christ suffered unjustly, so will those who wear his name. They are told to expect it. They are told to embrace it. They are told to walk in the same steps he walked in and follow his example. Follow his example. Christians are followers by definition. As a Christian, we are followers of Christ. We are being told here very specifically, follow his example. It cannot be more plain than that. We are in for it, in other words. But we are also told how to handle it when it comes. We are not simply set out there with no answers. and come it will. After all, who wants to be yelled at, cursed at, despised? The natural man in us wants to react in kind. But here in these verses is the answer. Here is the key. Entrust. It is exactly what Jesus did. Entrust ourselves to God. That is our answer when confronted with that. This is pure, very pure suffering here. Notice it is not talking about when we are doing something wrong and we should be careful not to twist our own unrighteous actions and apply them here, that God will somehow judge those who rightly called us out on something we did that was wrong. That is not what's being spoken of. However, when we do suffer wrongly, it can be a common reaction and probably is a common reaction to want to do something. Here, the action we are told to do is unseen. It is to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. That is to be our answer. If you think about it, when Jesus was confronted with those things, when he was spat upon, when he was struck in the face, he came to save those people, those very same people who did that. He didn't work it out there. He didn't answer in kind. He entrusted that this, knowing that this was God's plan, God will work all of these things out in the end. It is not up to us to respond the way the world would expect us to. In the recent pandemonium that has ensued since COVID-19 descended upon us, we have seen much focus on grocery stores, specifically the lack of certain products. Those put in a bad light are those that hoard to excess and those who profit to excess during these times. Something else has come to light that will be debated for a long time to come, I am sure, and that is the subject of being prepared. I'm sure all of us know it is impossible to be prepared on every front for every single thing that could come along. This virus might be a good example of that. It came from out of the blue and was like nothing any of us had ever seen in our lifetimes. I'm sure that at the governmental level and the personal level, there would be, will be, and should be lessons learned. One of those will be preparedness, at least in a general sense. For instance, we have a first aid kit in our building here. Why? So we might be prepared in case something happens. Accidents are not planned. That is why they are called accidents. On a spiritual level, we also need to be prepared. In what I am about to go over, it is not so much a case of perhaps, but when. And that we will now go to the second reading. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or a mischief maker. Yet, if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. For the time for judgment has come for judgment, to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? And if the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious and sinner appear? Now here it comes. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. If we are Christians, the day will come when we are attacked in some way. Perhaps it is only verbally, but let's face it, that can hurt a lot too. Specifically, if it is coming from a family member, someone we have known our entire existence upon earth, and someone who we love very much. If we do not prepare our reaction, we will not react in the correct way. For the way we are commanded very specifically in both of these readings is counter to what our natural inclination is. When we are berated verbally, we want to strike back in kind. Oh yeah, try this on for size. That is what we want to do. We need to recognize that. We also need to recognize that God has commanded us not to do that. Every time we do that, we fail. We are not approved by God. We don't want to be like that. We want to be approved by God, and we don't want to fail. But we will if we are not prepared. Who will win on that day when it comes our way? If we are not prepared, I think we all know the answer. Notice in the verses that God not only commanded us not to react that way, but in the former verses, verse 21 of chapter 2, which we read, Christ left us an example. His example. We speak of his example all the time. It was mentioned today. What was his example as pertains to this? He did not react in kind, right? But he did have an answer. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That needs to be our answer. In order to pull that off, as it is a tall order, we need to trust God, and we need to entrust ourselves to him. That needs to be our answer. But we will only answer that way if we prepare. And ahead of time is always the time to prepare, never in the moment. We do not wait for an accident to happen in the church and then say, let's go out quickly and get a first aid kit. Remember the wise and foolish virgins. The time to prepare was not in the moment. The foolish virgins found that out the hard way. Let's not be like them. The last thing to be said about these verses that I just read, and I'm glad Peter has it here, is this idea that something strange is happening to us. That's another common reaction, that we are surprised when these things come our way. I'm glad it is there because it is, again, a natural reaction that we will have. Who hasn't said, why is this happening to me? But we have the answer right here as to why it will happen. We've already been told up front why it will happen. And thankfully, we also have the answer for what our reaction is to be. Hopefully, what our reaction will be at that moment. And that is, don't react in kind. Entrust ourselves to God. Absorb it as Jesus absorbed it, not for the sake of just being a doormat, but because he did it, and we want to follow his example. Absorb it as he did, all the while giving it to God. He knows what has happened. He will work it all out. But if we want to be approved by him, if we want to please him, as was also said this morning, we will put effort into this. And when that occurs, hopefully for each one of us, we will respond the way that is approved by God, entrusting ourselves to him and not reacting.